Welcome to Abundant Living and Gardening Podcast. I'm your host, Aji Asir, and you can find me at ajiasir.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know that already because you're listening to this podcast. And also, you can find me at patreon.com/AjiYasir. And you can find out all the wonderful things I'm doing on three spaces right now. I'm working on Gary, Indiana, Chicago, and Mississippi. So that's a lot. That's a lot for one person to handle all of this stuff. Now, in our place in Gary, Indiana, I'm not the only one who does the work because I have family who helps me. Family meaning husband and child. So they help as well, y'all. But we just went from zero to 100. You already knew that we had chickens. You knew that we had ducks on the way. So our ducks, our rescue ducks that were on the way, they're here. So the coop is built. The ducks are there. They're chilling. I think they were a little bit stressed from the move. So they haven't been eating much, but they have been eating some. They've been eating more greens than anything. And of course they have their water. I'm probably going to get some duckweed to put into their water to make sure they have some extra nutrients. And yeah, they're chilling. But we also got four chicks and we got some more ducklings. So it's a crazy house right now. It's an absolute crazy house. And so the ducklings that we had, that we have, I really wanted these ducklings because they're a beautiful bird, but they're also endangered. So they're on the threatened list, and globally they are endangered. They are the Cayuga duck, and they're named after the Cayuga people from the New York area, which are American Indian. This is our American Indian Cayuga people. And so these ducks are named after them. Okay. Unlike most domesticated ducks, these are an American breed. So I really, really wanted these ducks. And they come from wild American ducks. And they're beautiful. As babies, they're black. They're all black. But as they grow, they get this green and blue iridescent feather. It's just absolutely beautiful. They get these beautiful feathers all over their bodies. And they were very popular. They were one of the main meat ducks until the mid to late 1800s. But then the Peking duck was created. You know, it was bred. And so the Peking duck is a larger duck. So now people use that as more of a meat duck. And at the same time, the Cayuga duck is like, where am I? Where am I? So it's threatened. So we have it now. And I'm looking forward to incubating eggs and hopefully having some more Cayuga ducks that we can share. We can spread around, that we can take down to Mississippi possibly. If they can, I don't know. I have to check on that, y'all, because these are hardy ducks. And, you know, Mississippi is hot. So I have to check on that. But anyway, y'all, because of all of this, I am concerned about the smell of these animals. Right now, it's okay. We do have our ducklings and we have our chicks in the basement. I make sure everything is clean as much as I can. Of course, I'm changing out their bedding and, you know, cleaning out the water for the ducklings, cleaning out the water, just making sure things are as clean as possible. However, these are animals, so definitely want to keep that in mind because it's kind of difficult to continuously clean up after animals, specifically baby animals. Because my goodness, I swear the word conga, which people use for doo-doo, sorry y'all, comes from the Choctaw word ankanka. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I think it does. Because ankanka means chicken in the Choctaw language. And these chickens caca everywhere. Everywhere. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the word does come from ankanka. Okay, so I say, you know what? I need to figure out a way. And I know that Korean natural farmers who utilize Korean natural farming methods, they say they don't have a smell even when they're raising pigs. So I said, okay, I'm going to figure this out. And so a woman on Clubhouse, I was asking her questions, and I said, you know what? She broke it down. She said, okay, we just spray the lab. We make sure everything is clean. We spray the lab. And then, you know, we don't give the animals the fermented food, because I thought you had to spray lab and the fermented food. But that's not necessarily the case. You want to make sure that the coop and the runs are sprayed down with lab. I am getting ready to get into what lab is in just a second. Before you spray everything down with lab, you want to make sure that things are dry. You want to make sure that your bedding is dry, your wood chips in the run are dry, your straw, whatever you use, all that is dry. So what is lab? Y'all, a long time ago, in the very beginning of this podcast, I gave a recipe for how to make bokashi. And I think I did it in maybe 2 episodes, I want to say. You have to go back to that. But I had to make bokashi. And bokashi is a method, a Korean natural farming method, of fermenting compost so that it can break down faster and it doesn't have a smell. See? You see that there's a pattern here. Smell. And no, the bokashi does not have a smell. It actually smells good, which is crazy, because when you're adding all of these food scraps, you would think that it stinks, and it does not, because you are using the bokashi method. And with the bokashi method, you have to make lab. Go back to the episode. I'm probably going to put that in the show notes so you can see how to do the bokashi method. I'm going to find that episode and put it in the show notes, okay? All right. That's that. Okay, so since it breaks, you don't have a smell with the compost, it kind of makes sense that if you use this method, you wouldn't have a smell in your chicken run or in your duck run or in your duck coop or chicken coop. So I'm trying this out. This is all an experiment, y'all. This is all an experiment. So I'm getting ready to break down how to make lab. Now, if you go back to the show notes and you listen to the other episode I did on bokashi, you will find that I did that method in a vegan way, because you can make bokashi vegan. And, you know, a lot of people don't think you can, but I did it, so I know you can. So you can go back to that episode if you want to figure out how to do a vegan. Now, this bokashi that I made for the chicken and duck coops are not vegan. I mean, it is not vegan. I did use milk in this. I don't drink milk, but listen, I got milk for this lab. I don't drink milk, not because I'm anti-milk. It's because I just don't drink milk. All right, so this is the first thing you want to do. You want to get 1 cup of white rice and 1 cup of clean, purified water. You want to get a glass bowl, and you want to get, I don't know, a wooden spoon. I used a wooden spoon for this. And so you want to put your rice in a bowl. In that bowl, you got your 1 cup of rice, and you want to pour that 1 cup of water over that rice. You're going to use that spoon and you're going to stir it around. And this is going to be less than 5 minutes, y'all. You're going to stir it around and you're going to wait until that liquid becomes white, cloudy kind of liquid. It's white, cloudy water now. And so once it's white and cloudy in this water, well, you know, it's water, you're going to strain the rice out. And now you have your liquid that's just your rice water, okay? And you're going to pour that liquid into a glass jar. And then you're going to put cheesecloth over that, and you're going to put a rubber band, or you're going to tie that cheesecloth over that jar somehow. And you're going to sit that in a dark, cool place for about 2 days. And as the 2 days goes, you're going to smell it and you're going to see that it smells a little bit sour, not disgusting. It just smells sour. And then once it's sour, after those 2 days, You're going to take it out of the cabinet. You're going to take the cheesecloth off, and you're going to add 3 cups of unpasteurized milk to that mixture. Essentially, you're making like spoiled milk. Sorry, but this is exactly what you're making. This is just, yeah, you're making spoiled milk. So after you add that 3 cups of water to that rice water, you're going to put the cheesecloth back on and you're going to let it sit for another 2 days, 2 or 3 days, depending on how warm or how cool your environment is. Once you take it out, you're going to notice that there are going to be 3 distinct layers. You're going to have a thick layer at the top, and you're going to have a less than thick layer in the middle, and then you're going to have a thinner layer at the bottom. And what you want to do is take that top layer off. That's going to be like your cream. You know how cream rises to the top? Your curd. You're going to take, I think it's called curd, y'all. I don't know. You're going to take that top layer off, and you can feed that to the chickens. You can put that in your compost. You can bury it. You can do whatever you want to do it. And it is safe to feed it to the chickens or the ducks or whatever animals you have. And as a matter of fact, it has lots of probiotics, so it could be good for them. All right. After you take that off, you are going to take that liquid that is left in there, and you're going to dilute it 1 to 100. So that means for every, 1 to 1,000, y'all, for every teaspoon, you're going to have 1,000 teaspoons of water. Once it's diluted, you're going to spray your coop and your chicken run or your duck run and duck coop down. And then hopefully you don't have smell. Now, look, I have used the lab to make bokashi, but I have never used lab for a duck run or a chicken run or a chicken coop. I've never done this. So this is completely experimental, but I hear it works. And I've heard from people I trust who say, yes, this method works. So I'm trying it because I don't want to live in a place that smells like a zoo. I don't. I don't. I mean, with the chicks, the ducklings, no, I don't want to live in a place that smells like a zoo. And is, you know, I'm also going to be using this outdoors once I put some new bedding. I have to clean out the coop outdoors and put some new bedding in. I'm going to spray it down with lab. As a matter of fact, some people even use lab to clean the coop and their runs. So you have this bacteria and you have the carbon and the wood chips and the leaves or whatever you have in your coop and run, and all of that is going to be breaking down, and you're going to have beautiful soil as well. So it's a win-win. And from my understanding, people have said that this lab also helps to keep the animals healthy because they have those probiotics. They're walking around in these probiotics. They're smelling stuff. They're putting their noses or their beaks down into this probiotic mesh of goodness. So, look, I'm just trying this out, y'all. And I'm going to let you know how it turns out. Because if it turns out good, this is going to be my method until I find another method. This is going to be my method. I live in a residential area and I do not want to offend my neighbors or myself with stinky animals. So here we are, folks. All right, y'all. That's really all I had to say today. Please feel free to reach out. And thank you so much for listening. Again, you can check me out at patreon.com/AjaYasir. It's been fun. Y'all know that I do not edit any of these episodes. So if I'm stumbling over stuff, hey, this is me 100%. This is what you get. No editing, because I want this to be real and raw. You need to know what really goes on a homestead, a farm. You need to know the real deal. So I'm not trying to make it look all pretty, because sometimes it ain't. Sometimes it's unkaka. Sometimes it's kaka everywhere. All right, y'all. Have a good one. And thank you for listening. Talk to you soon.